Welcome to another message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about Pastor Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
I always feel such a deep impact about what I want to share, and I spend pretty much the entire week meditating on every morning on the same scriptures and then go over and over the message. I'm not sure how many hours it all adds up to in the end, but I certainly want to get soaked in whatever I'm feeling the Lord is speaking to me and let it get into my bones so that it's really a part of what I feel He's wanting to communicate with you. And my prayer every week is that God will give me the mental agility, if you like, to articulate and give expression adequately the feelings that you have on the inside that you know you really want God's people to have. And, you know, I stand on the stage and instantly I feel a deep love for every single person in the building. I just feel like I want to go out and lay hands on every person and pray for them or prophesy over them, tell them they're incredible, and just see if I can't get them into the best place possible in life. But obviously that can't happen. But I think if the feeling is there, I feel like I can talk to each of you and you can feel like it's something individual that's coming into your heart that God is saying in your world. And so this message is out of one of the most key passages in the New Testament in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. I want you to say it with me. I want you to speak this scripture with me. Blessed be the God and Father. Let's start all together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, the tense of the Bible is not unimportant. Little words like has are really, really important for you to get a hold of what that is saying. It doesn't say He's going to bless you. It doesn't say He is blessing you. It says it's a finished thing. You're blessed. As you sit here this morning, you are blessed. God did not create you to curse you. He did not create you with a destiny to frustrate you. He did not give you desires in your heart and dreams in your mind to tease you. God created you to bless you, to give you the most awesome life that He could possibly dream of. He didn't create you out of any other motive than love. He said, I really, really love this person, even before you were born. He said, I want to just put together such a beautiful life for them. If they will simply follow me and receive my son, that'll be the doorway into an entire covenant that I will cut with them. And right from the word go, He brought you out of a curse, not just to deliver you from something, but to take you into something. And that was that you would walk in blessing. Now, to walk in blessing means you walk in divine favor, not just human favor, but divine, God-covered favor over your life. And whenever you put your hand to something, instead of it falling to bits and failing, it works. So your work works, so that for a little effort, you reap an enormous result. When you're cursed, you can put on an enormous effort and reap a little result, and then what you do tends to end up in a bag with holes and nothing really works. Well, Jesus came to actually deliver you from that kind of life, to bring you into a blessed life. And that's exactly why Jesus Christ came. The book of Acts says God sent Jesus to bless you. He did not send Him to curse you or to bring you into a bad life. Can you find any page in the New Testament where Jesus puts His hand on anybody and says, have a troubled life? Be cursed and sick. I want you to die and you to have a rotten time in your marriage. Can you find anywhere? It's like blasphemy to say that. Jesus Christ came, and wherever His hand went, healing came, deliverance came, blessing came. Whatever He walked in, all of His footsteps brought blessing into people's lives. I've listened to a lot of messages, a lot of preaching. In 44 years, you can't not. I've been to a lot of meetings, a lot of services. And it is amazing to me how much of it is based, how much of our thinking and preaching and teaching in the church is based on what I'd call consequence thinking or when-then theories. So it goes like this: when the church gets its act together, then God is going to bring blessing. if you do this, then that's going to happen. And it is true. There are definite action and reaction in life. However, Jesus came to drive a wedge right through that thinking. All the Old Testament prophecies by the prophets that are predicting doom and gloom on the people of Israel can really affect you if you read that on a bad day. You think, oh, golly, and you kind of quickly skip over the pages in case any of it, you're thinking any of it applies to you. Well, I got to say, none of it does. They were trying to keep a book of impossible rules called the Law of Moses. Couldn't be kept. And they kept breaking them and needed sacrifices all the time, especially every year to cover the entire nation on the Day of Atonement. And so they kept on putting down sacrifices every day, some of them, like Job, every week, like some of them, every month, every year, all these sacrifices. But when Jesus came, he is one sacrifice for all time, for all people everywhere, and never needs to die again, because that one sacrifice is sufficient to cleanse every soul throughout the entire planet from all its sins. And there is nothing else that can remove the stain or the depth of that corruption in our soul. There is nothing in the entire universe, no other element than the blood of Jesus Christ. When Jesus was born, which we are celebrating right now and saying there's room at the inn, he was born because in a stable, because somebody said there is no room in the inn. We are saying, definitely, Lord Jesus, there's room in this inn for you. And when he was born, some people have put it forward that the blood in a fetus comes from the father. Others think that that's impossible to prove. No matter what, there has never been another blood type like the blood type of Jesus Christ in the history of the world. There has never been a virgin who has conceived in her womb by an act of the Holy Spirit, the Son of God. And that blood that flowed in the veins of Jesus is the only blood in the universe that can actually wipe away the record of your sins in heaven, can deal a death blow to sickness, can actually take out the legal ground for every demon and actually remove it all from you, especially the curse. And so when we come into this idea of Paul saying, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Not only have you been blessed, there's not a blessing that God can give you that you have not been blessed with. Now, a lot of people would say at this point, well, look at my life. How could that be? What do you mean I'm blessed? I'm not blessed. There's all this going on. Stop looking at your circumstances and start believing what this book says. And you'll find that your circumstances will start to conform to what you believe the truth is in this book. If you say, I'm forgiven, then how come I still feel so guilty? Stop running by your feelings. If you're running by what you see and what you feel, you're always going to be in a mess. You've got to make a decision to switch on your faith and believe what's written in the book and say, God said it, I believe it. That settles it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, I'm working to wake some of you up here this morning, and you need to know that the word to bless, the word blessing, the definition of it means to make holy. When a person blesses you, apparently you're made holy. You're made a saint. Well, God has done that to every single one of you here. When you receive Christ, you were separated to God. You were made holy, not by your own works, but by his divine fiat, by his act. He has made you holy. It's his decision, not yours. I know that we have ideas that saints are particularly good people who have died and gone on, and because of their good works and at least a record of two miracles, they can be canonized and made into a saint. However, our problem is Paul, when he wrote to the saints at Ephesus, was not writing to a cemetery. He was not writing to dead people. He was writing to living people, a living church, and he was saying to you, the saints, the called out ones, the ones who have been blessed, who have been made holy by God's action. I'm going to write these things. Okay, the second point of what blessing means, it means to invoke divine favor upon, to bring divine favor by invocation. Jesus is our high priest. In the Old Testament, the high priest would stand And he would say these words, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them." When those words were announced over the people of Israel, the blessing of God fell. Their priests would bring that to them, which was an issue from the high priest who came down from Moses' brother, Aaron, in what is known as the Levitical priesthood. But today there is no such priesthood. Today there is no such person doing that because our high priest has actually already gone into heaven and he is invoked. The last thing he did as he left earth is he lifted up his hands and he blessed the disciples. And when the blessing of God comes upon your life from heaven, from the divine high priest, Jesus, who in the book of Hebrews says has passed through the heavens, carrying with him that blood, taking it before the throne of God, presenting his perfect life to be imputed to every believer on earth. At that point, God invoked through Christ blessing on every single person's life in this room. His plan, my friends, is to bless you, not to do anything less than to actually give you the best life you possibly have. It amazes me that sometimes we're criticized for the title of our TV show, Your Best Life. People go, "What do you mean to say Your Best Life? And that's not what Jesus..." I said, "What? You want your worst life? Or you want your ordinary life? No, God wants you to have your best life." "Oh, yeah, that's all very selfish. It's about, you know, like just getting stuff." No, isn't it about serving Jesus? Yeah, it is. That's your best life. Your best life is yielded to God and him putting blessing on all that you do for him. As I look around and see all those volunteers and we see all the graduating students and we see 350 hampers going out to needy people in the community and the long list of community initiatives we have going on, I'm telling you, you have been blessed to be a blessing and you are blessing this community by the power of God without any shadow of a doubt. Amen. Well, I want to take you to a story in the Old Testament, which is the story of Rahab. And I'm not sure if you've ever read this story, but Rahab, she was a woman of kind of a colorful background. She was a prostitute and lived in the walls of the city of Jericho. Joshua had been made the new leader of Israel's army, and in fact, of the entire nation. He was the general of the army prior to this under Moses. But now he was actually in the position where he was going to lead the people of Israel into their possession, their promised land, which had been difficult. Moses had got them out, but then when he attempted to get them in, they wouldn't go. They couldn't take the step. So now Joshua has sent two spies in to spy out the land, like any general would do. Put out some spies, get some intelligence back as to the best pathways, the lay of the land, the enemy resources, etc. He only sent two, and they were young men. They weren't leaders of tribes trying to protect their position by bringing back a negative report. They were just two. He remembered this moment 40 years earlier when Moses sent 12. That's too many moving parts. He just wanted two guys to go in there. And out of the 12, only two had a positive report. So he was hopeful, even if he got a 50-50 thing, it was still going to work for in his advantage. So he was one of the positive preachers who came back and said, "We can take this land." And his friend Caleb said, "Yeah, of course we can." The other 10 said, "No, we can't. What are you, an idiot? These are men of war. They're 18 feet tall, for goodness sake. They got walled cities. They brought back grapes. In fact, one bunch of grapes from the Valley of Eshkol, it says, they carried on a pole between two shoulders because the grapes were like this big, huge things, like oranges. The land flowed with milk and honey. I don't know how big the cows were to have milk flowing, you know. Big bees. It was a big place. The entire land was enormous. God had prepared it for them. And here's these Israelite spies. And they don't know where to go when they get into the city of Jericho because it's a very fortified city, thick walls. You could have chariot races on the top of these walls. They go in, and they're kind of, where should we stay tonight? You know, where we won't be found, where travelers go, where people pass through. They thought, well, we'll go to the harlot's house. So that's where they went. They went to Rahab's house. Now, Rahab started to tell them what's been going on. She says, oh, you Israelite spies, you got to know, our city's been shut up. We're fearful. Our hearts have melted. All of our defenses have gone from us. Since we heard about your God drying up the Red Sea and you coming out of Egypt, I'm reading that and I'm going, what? You got to be kidding me. That happened 40 years ago. That wasn't yesterday. That was 40 years ago. So for 40 years, the Israelites are wandering around terrified of going into a land that's completely terrified that they're coming. God had melted their hearts with fear. You need to understand that your future has been prepared by God. You've got nothing to fear about what's up ahead of you. He's already gone before you. He's already got things under control. The things you're nervous about stepping into, God has already prepared people's hearts. He's already got things happening. So anyway, the king heard about these two spies. He says, hey, bring out the boys, these spies that you've got hiding in your place. And she put them on the roof and put them under flax. She had some stalks of flax on the roof. And the king says, where are they? And she says, oh, they're not here. They're gone. They went out the gate and went down the road. If you want to figure out how she did that, just, you know, sort of a bit of distraction, deflection, misinformation, war tactics, you need to go to Bible college to figure all that out. And so she did that, and she was commended for her faith. God saw the motive of her heart because she said, I know that your God is going to wipe the city out. So I want to get on his good side. So there's room in my house for you Israelite boys. There's room in my house for these men of God. There's room in my house for whoever's coming from Christ into my world. I'm going to open up and listen to what they've got to say. And so once she had protected them, God says, well, I'll protect you, and tells the boys, enter into a covenant with them. You see, if you make room for God in your house, he'll make room for you in his. There's no doubt about that. He'll say, look, I'll look after you. I want you to come on into my family. Why are you trying to do life on your own? Why are you trying so hard and stumbling and struggling every day? Why don't you come into my protection? And so they said to her, okay, this is the deal. If you will hang a red cord out your window and you make sure that it hangs there every day, don't pull it in on any day at all, just from now on, and gather in everybody you want in your house, anybody and everybody, and your family and your friends, whoever's in the house, on the day we come, we will save them. They will be protected. We won't touch them. And so Rahab hung out of her window that red cord, which is a symbol of the blood of Jesus. When that's on your life, friend, you will find that angel of death will pass over you. The Israelite army will go around you. When you're in the house of God, which is covered with the blood of Christ from heaven, there is blessing under that blood. There is protection. There is the blessing of God that'll give you a legacy that you cannot even begin to understand. Because Rahab came out of that place and got married to a guy called Salmon. They gave birth to a young man called Boaz. He married a woman called Ruth. I won't take you through the entire genealogy. However, I got to tell you that the end of that genealogy is Jesus Christ himself. She became one of the ancestors of bringing Christ into the world. You can't get more blessed than that, to bring the solution for the entire world's problems into this planet. When we make room for Christ in our house, we start a legacy. We start an ancestry that we can't even begin to fathom how it's going to work out, but you can know that you're going to be a blessing to the entire world. There's another gentleman in the book of John, and he approaches Jesus, and he says, the nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, And he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, "Your son lives." That's just so magnificent. Those three words, "Your son lives." Jesus didn't say, "Well, what's that boy been up to?" He didn't go, "I'm not sure if, you know, God's really into it." If Jesus gets involved in your life, your son will live. Your family will live. This season is such a great season for families to come together. But sometimes it's awkward and difficult and a little prickly because of all the intimacies that we know about each other. But when Jesus comes in the middle of it, he says, "Your family will live. Your son lives." And then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, "Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. When a miracle came into their house by way of Jesus, it brought an entire miracle of salvation to everybody there. I just thought I'd have the two extremes. One, a poor, rejected, shame-filled prostitute. Everybody had always rejected her. She was like a rebel. She was a person that nobody really wanted to hang out with. She was rough and hard, and she was tough. And when she was asked to bring out the spy, she completely betrayed her own town for the sake of God. And she stood for Christ in the middle of a situation where it was going to be very challenging if she was found out. And then you come to the other end of the scale of a person who's not feeling ashamed or guilty. He's a nobleman. He has a high rank in society. But he too came to Christ and said, "Look, my boy is dying. Can you do something to help me?" And Jesus simply spoke to him and said, "Your son lives." And the man didn't say, "Look, could you come, please, and just put your hand on my boy?" He believed the word that was spoken to him. That's what I'd like you to do today. I'd like you to believe that very first word that we spoke in this service. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has not come to condemn you. He came to bring salvation. He did not come to curse you. He came to bless you. We need to rewrite the history in your mind of what God is like. You need to know that God is good and that God loves you and that the devil is bad and he hates you. And God has sent Jesus to destroy the works of the devil and to give you a blessed life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All it takes for you to connect with the power of God is to believe it. That's all it takes. An emotional switch on the inside from cynicism to faith, from suspicion to actually trusting and believing. And you may have been wounded or damaged or been through some things that have given you deep disappointment and you don't know if you can raise your faith. Well, you don't need to. Paul said even he lived by the faith of the Son of God. The faith of Jesus is available to you. If you open up to him and say, "Lord, help me believe. Help me be willing. Today I want to see that blessing that you've promised to every single person fall on my life." Let's all stand as we come to a close here. And I wanted us to reach out to God and to let that blessing spoken of in Ephesians 1:3 rest on your life. You need to know that coming to Christ isn't an ordinary fact. It isn't an ordinary event. It's one of the greatest things that God has planned for any human being. And it's through Christ that every blessing comes on your life. Not through your own works, not through whether you're good enough to be a saint, but simply through you receiving Jesus. That's the gift of God for eternal life.
C3 Church is a vibrant, contemporary community of people who want to know Jesus more and be equipped to live their best life. We have over 300 churches around the world waiting to welcome you. So find your nearest C3 at c3churchglobal.com.
It's possibly one of the most important messages that I feel God has given me in today's Christian world.
The Parable of the Dog is a new offering from Pastor Phil Pringle, a small book that packs a big punch.
Transformation is when I realize that this flesh body I've got is in league with the devil to destroy my soul.
The parable of the dog addresses a critical issue in today's church.
I got to get the lordship of Christ over this body. I got to pick up the cross. He doesn't put it on me. I've got to embrace the thing that kills me.
Grab your copy today at philpringle.com. Thanks for listening. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions that you have made and the great things that God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.